We are ready for number five, the fifth fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Let's begin reading there. Galatians 5:22. We'll read verse 22 and 23. I think that you're going to be helped today. I really do. Galatians 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And today we're going to focus in on this word, gentleness. Gentleness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's jump back up to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that ye, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, that means this. It means we have the potential for both. We all still live in the body of flesh. We also, if we're saved, have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We've simply got to choose which one is going to control us, which one we're going to walk in, which one we're going to surrender ourselves to. And God says they won't work together. They won't co-master you. You have to choose one of them. Matter of fact, they fight in war against each other. And I keep saying this over and over, but I need to keep saying it over and over. That's why it's foolish, this new movement in many of our churches is foolish, that decides that they're going to bring in a bunch of things that appeals to the flesh, and then after 2 or 3 hours of fleshly entertainment and of fleshly music and a rock and roll beat and all of this other stuff, all of a sudden, in the middle of all that, the Holy Spirit's going to swoop in and do a great work. Well, the Spirit, capital S, lusteth, warreth, if you will, against the flesh, and the flesh against and the flesh against the Spirit. They're contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And so just keep that in mind, folks. Listen to me. We're just an old-fashioned, old-time religion Baptist church. Okay, you're not going to come in here and find a rock and roll band or someone banging on electric guitar and headbanging and claiming to do it in Jesus' name. You're just not going to do that. We're not going to feed the flesh and then decide at the end of that we're going to have a spiritual thing happen. You've got to separate these two things. You've got to decide whether you're going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. I think that a church has to decide whether it's going to be a spiritual church or a fleshly, carnal church. It just has to make those decisions. And so I wanted to reemphasize this. Now, let me say what I've said every week. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is. These are not characteristic traits that you can conjure up on your own. These are not produced as an act of willpower. These are not things that if you turn over a new leaf, you're going to be able to produce in your life. These are not the fruit of Jerry Ross or the fruit of any human being. These are the fruit of the Spirit. The only way that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness and temperance will be a part of my characteristic traits and a part of my daily life is if I will empty myself of self and sin and surrender to the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God and the control of the Holy Spirit of God, then these things can flow through me unhindered as I am willing to crucify the flesh and like I said, empty myself of self and sin and submit to the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, having said all that, let's get right into the teaching because there's a lot of things to cover. And I want to give you, I think this attribute of gentleness is one of the neatest things that the Holy Spirit is able to produce in us. I think we need to understand what gentleness is. And I think that if we do, it will help us, especially in the matter of leadership. I really believe that gentleness may be one of the greatest leadership characteristics than anybody can possess. Now, I hope you just heard that. I'm going to show you that that's true tonight or this morning. I think gentleness is one of the most important leadership characteristics, and it's very important that we allow the Holy Spirit to produce this attribute in our life if we are in the business of leading people. By the way, Mama, you're in the business of leading people. Daddy, you're in the business of leading people. Our children need to be led, and we need to exhibit this attribute of gentleness. And I'm going to explain what that is. If you have a Sunday school class, If you work in a ministry, and most of you sitting here work in some ministry, you have to understand that part of leadership is understanding the attribute of gentleness. And so we're going to define gentleness, and then we're going to give you several points, several Bible principles concerning gentleness. So we're going to get into that, but first let's pray and ask God's blessing on our class. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand what we're going to study. Help me to do a good job, Lord, to at least my capabilities of presenting, Lord, this attribute so that we can understand this, we can be made aware of this. And when the Holy Spirit is tugging at our heart or trying to lead us in this area of gentleness, that we'll be willing to submit to him and let him produce this characteristic trait in our life. And Lord, I pray that you just give us wisdom. Some things that would be said this morning would help us, Lord, in bringing people along and helping people to reach their full potential for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Wow, I don't know how we're going to do today. I think there might be a lot of people at 10:30 show up for Sunday school. I just have a suspicion about that. Y'all look pretty good for having lost an hour's sleep. And I'm very excited that we were able to change our clocks and do that. I was just so glad to see that of all the things that needed to be fixed in the state of Indiana, that we took these years and these months and all of this effort and time so that we could further confuse Hoosiers as far as what time we're on. So I'm very glad. It just makes me proud to pay taxes when we're able to accomplish these kind of things, these life-changing. Now, abortion's still legal, and the homosexuals are still making progress, but at least we got some counties to switch and some to stay and some to change and some not to change. And that's exciting. So I just wanted to vent a little this morning, and so amen. So anyway, it's just good. Amen. It's a proud day to be a Hoosier. And Galatians chapter 5. You can tell I'm cranky for not getting it. I'll feel better in the fall. Come back in the fall, folks. And then I'll be praising our governor and all of these other things, okay? So, amen. Yes, gentleness. Amen. Here we go. I hope y'all learned something. I apparently didn't learn a thing by studying this, but maybe it'll help somebody else in this room. So, gentleness defined. Let's define gentleness. Let me have you go, first of all, to Psalms the 18th Psalm, and look at verse number 35. We're going to be in several places in the Bible, Psalms 18:35, and we still had the lottery, but at least our clocks are, that's good, casinos are still being built down in French Lick, but at least we're, okay, here we go, Psalms 18 and verse number 35. I want you to underline a little phrase in this because, and now if you, this will help you to absorb this word gentleness and understand it a little bit. I think that the fact that the Lord himself, God, let me give you this first of all, God has set the example of gentleness for us in his dealings with mankind. Did you get that? God has set the example of gentleness for us in his dealings with mankind. It is God's gentleness that allows us to reach our potential. Now, let's read verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. Now, watch this. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Now, that's interesting. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Now, let me define the word. Let me give you a good, accurate Bible definition so that when you see this word gentle or gentleness or gently in the Bible, you'll understand what it means. Gentleness, if we'll give the definition, means to submit oneself, to humble oneself, or to abase oneself for the benefit of one who is developing. Now, let me give you that again. To submit yourself or humble yourself or abase yourself for the benefit of one who is developing. Let me give you another little statement here. Gentleness is strength, submitting itself, abasing itself, humbling itself to reach down and assist or help one who is weak. Well, that's very important. You see, gentleness isn't weakness, folks. Gentleness is strength, submitting itself, abasing itself, humbling itself to reach down and assist or help one who is weak. Now, what was the psalmist writing when he wrote this beautiful phrase here? He's saying, thank God for his gentleness. Thank God that the great creator of the universe was willing to come down and rescue us. Instead of using his strength to annihilate us, he set aside that strength and came down and submitted himself and humbled himself and abased himself for our benefit. And boy, when you look at Calvary's cross, I don't know if there's any greater example of a gentleness than that. And David went on to say this, any greatness or any accomplishments that I've accomplished in life was because that God was willing to come down. And by the way, let me share this with you. God didn't come down and he came down and took upon him the form of flesh, but he did not become sinful. And I think that that's important even in our understanding of what we're to do as leaders. You see, you need to be mature if you're going to help immaturity reach maturity. But you've got to go back to where they are and help them find the way. But that doesn't mean that you become immature again. You just need to remember how it was to be where they are and understand the steps that you had to take, that God had to take you through to get you where you need to be. And God in his greatness reached down and said, listen, you're not a whole lot. But if you'll let me, I'll help you. If you let me, I'll assist you. If you let me, I'll teach you something. And David said, as I submitted to the one who was willing to submit himself for me and listened and was brought along, look at what I've been able to accomplish and become, not because of anything in me, but because of the gentleness, the patience, the kindness, the mercy of Almighty God. So gentleness is strength, submitting itself, abasing itself, and humbling itself to reach down and assist or help one who is weak. Now see, folks, a lot of people misunderstand strength. And they use strength wrongly. They use strength to lord over somebody who is weak. We have bullies on the playground. But the honest truth is, folks, even adults sometimes use a bullying attitude. I'm a little stronger than you, so I'm going to let you know that at every opportunity. Well, you know what? That's not gentleness. Gentleness says, I'm stronger than you, and I see that you're not as strong as me, so let me reach back and use a little bit of my strength for your benefit to help you to develop and to assist you and help you to come up and forward in this matter of growing and spiritual growth. God has set the example of gentleness for us in dealing with mankind. Can anyone here accuse God of weakness? Certainly not. So God, when he exercises gentleness, we know that he's strong. We know that he has strength. So what he done was he submitted himself, abased himself, humbled himself, and came down. Listen, he reached, the song says, he reached way down for me. He reached way down for me and helped me and assisted me in developing, helped someone who could not help themselves reach down and through his strength helped make someone who is weak stronger. So gentleness is not weakness. No one has the capacity to be gentle who is not also strong. And I think it's very important, folks, that we understand that when we are developing maturity and we're developing Christian strength, it's not so we can have something that we can lord over someone or we can put on exhibit or display or we can something that will cause people to wow and oh my goodness and isn't he a great this? And that's not what it's all about. The development of maturity and strength is for one purpose, so that you can get to the point where you are strong enough to assist someone else behind you who is coming along. Hey, this is the adult class. Are you listening to me? This is the adult class. Hey, there's a whole church full in almost every nook and cranny and corner. My wife told me last week in our school locker room, she taught 18 teenage girls in our school, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders in our school locker room. By the way, please give to the building fund. Please give to the building fund. Please give to the building fund. I'm serious. I walked around this morning and looked in the Sunday school classrooms and prayed, God, help us as soon as possible to be able to reclaim this whole downstairs area, and once again, fill it up with Sunday school classes, split Sunday school classes, help some of these teachers out. Now, if you don't believe the need for it, I will let you teach Brother Charles' class next week. I'll let you teach Carla English's class next week. You try to wrestle around and keep the attention of 25, 30, sometimes 35 third and fourth graders, or 4- and 5-year-olds. You know, you'll understand we need this done. We need this project done. But what this whole thing is about is the developing strength so that we can help the weak. Okay, developing maturity so we can help those that are immature to become mature. And gentleness recognizes that. And as God gives us the grace to develop, and as we do surrender to the Holy Spirit, and He gives us some maturity, and He helps us to advance in our Christian walk. Listen, it's not so that we can walk around being some kind of a spiritual big shot. What it is so that we can then have the strength to not only live the Christian life for ourselves, but a little extra left over to maybe bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, you see. And so gentleness is strength, submitting itself, abasing itself, humbling itself to reach down and assist or help one who is weak. Now I'm going to have you go to Genesis chapter 33, and I want to show you a wonderful story and a great principle. And then I'm going to teach you, I think, what I really think we're going to teach you is some of the greatest leadership principles that maybe you'll ever hear. And I think a lot of times men, men are ego-driven. Men like the idea of strength. Men, a lot of times, you know, this whole idea of one of the fruits of the Spirit being gentleness may not appeal a whole lot to us, but I think it's because we really don't understand the biblical definition of what gentleness is. Please let the Holy Spirit of God develop gentleness in your life. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is knowing how to use your strength to benefit and help those around you, you see. Now, Genesis chapter 33, let me just, without reading the whole chapter, give you the story. Jacob is on his way back. He's already wrestled with the angel in the previous chapter. The angel has changed his name to Israel. He's getting ready to meet Esau. Oh my goodness sakes, this could be life or death. We don't know if Esau is coming for the right reason or the wrong reason. God is gracious though, and Esau and Jacob are reunited. And now they're getting ready to continue back home together. At verse 12 it says, "And he said," which is Esau speaking, "Let us take our journey and let us go, and I will go before thee." Now this is Esau. Esau came, by the way, with 400 trained men, army men, fighting men. These are mature men. Are you listening to me? This is very important that you understand this. Verse 13, "And he," which is Jacob, "said unto him, My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me." Boy, it's important that you understand his reasoning behind this request. "And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die." Boy, this verse number 14, what an important verse to learn. "Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly." Boy, you ought to underline that right there. "I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir." Now, this is important. What he's saying is this. Esau, you know what? You brought with you 400 mature men. You know what? They can jump on those horses and ride all day long. If they didn't have horses, you know what they could do? They could march all day long. They may have to stop and take a quick break for a drink or whatever. But buddy, you know what? They can go on an all-day march. But if I do that with the children, if I do that with the young flocks, if I do that with the cows and the sheep that have young, I will kill off a lot of them. So I'm going to have to lead in such a manner that represents who I am leading. Well, that's important. You know, it wasn't wrong for Esau to want to do what he did, because the men that were following him were mature enough to keep up with the pace. But Jacob didn't have the same type of group with him. And so what he had to say was, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to exercise gentleness. Now, folks, Jacob, I don't think at this point in his life, now it could be argued that earlier he was, but Jacob at this point in his life is not a sissy. Jacob has been hardened by years of hard labor working for Laban. He's coming to his own. He's matured and developed. And if Jacob wanted to, he could have kept right on up with Esau. But you know what? He said, it's just not me that I got to think about. It's these people that I'm trying to lead that I've got to think about. So I've got to lead on gently. Gentleness is a leadership principle. Now let me give you a couple things to think about here.
Gentleness, let me give you this thought. Gentleness leads towards a, let me say it again. Gentleness leads others towards a goal at a pace, now get this, at a pace that challenges those who follow, but does not destroy those who follow. Now let me just explain this to you, because I think what we do is sometimes we immediately, some folks are so prone to try to grab a hold of something like this and say, good, see, that's what the problem with leadership is. They just don't understand how weak I am. They don't understand. They're always trying to run off. And you know what? They don't understand that I just need to sit here forever, the rest of my life, and not move. I'm just tired of people telling me anything. And these are the type of people that don't like leadership. They don't respond to leadership. They don't want to follow or do anything anybody says. And so when something like this is taught, they tend to jump on this evening. They'll go home. They're the kind of wife that doesn't want to follow her husband in anything. So they'll come home after a Sunday school lesson like this and say, every time he asks for something, see, that's your problem. You're just trying to push too hard. The children that listen to this say, well, that's my mom and dad's problem. They expect me actually to get up by 10 o'clock and do hard things like carry a bag of trash all the way out. I mean, there's 45 steps between here and the trash can. And they expect me to do that all in one trip. And, you know, and even listen to me, listen, folks, I'm just being honest with you. Even church members that have come to a certain point and they want to just sit and be content. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be moved. And so if you insist that they move a little or you put a little pressure on them, you're not being gentle. No, Jacob didn't say, we're going to sit right here until these young ones grow all the way up and die of old age. And I won't ever see Esau, but maybe my grandchildren will make it when we finally. No, Jacob was a leader. And Jacob was taking them the same direction. And Jacob had a goal in mind. But what he had to do was he had to set a pace that was maybe challenging. Maybe it would even stretch the fellowship a little, but it wouldn't destroy the fellowship. And I think that that's very important. Because, folks, I believe this. Gentleness is a leadership principle, not a sit down and do nothing principle. You see, and so what we need to do, though, is we do need to lead on softly. Gentleness leads others towards a goal at a pace that is maybe challenging, stretches them a little, but does not destroy those who follow. Me and my family, years ago, my goodness sakes, the girls were pretty small at that time. They weren't real big. Years ago, we went up to Wisconsin to visit Cheryl's mom and dad, and then I was looking around. We wanted to just take 2 or 3 days and go somewhere. So we went up to the UP, Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We found a little place called Porcupine Mountain State Park. And they rented in Porcupine Mountain State Park. Many of you have been there. It's a big tourist hot spot. Yeah, I can just see. I was like, oh, you went where? Yeah, and there's certain years times of the year we found out you really don't want to go. And I think we picked one of them because the mosquitoes really are unbelievable in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan at certain times of year. In fact, in the middle of the night, we were out there camping. And twice during the night, I woke up and 2 or 3 mosquitoes was dragging Tabitha out the window, actually carrying. I had to get her and pull her. All right, maybe not. But Porcupine Mountain State Park. And here's Dad, you know. What are we going? We're going to go camping. Oh, we are. Well, we got a tent. You don't need a tent. They have rustic cabins. And let's see, what do they got here? They've got rustic cabins where you've got to, and you always had to park your car, and then you had to hike to these cabins, and they were back in the mountains somewhere. And so, you know, I looked around, and I thought, okay, here's one where you have to hike 20 miles to get to it. Boy, that would be great. And here's one 18 miles, and here's one 15 miles, and here's one that's 5 miles you have to hike, and well, here's a wimpy one. You only have to hike 2 miles to get that. And Cheryl says, that's the one we're going to, right there. That's the one we're going. All right, okay, all right. And so we get our carload of stuff, and we pull there, and all the stuff. And then, by the way, no electricity, no running water, nothing, just these rustic cabins out in the middle of nowhere. So I get the troops lined up, and I assign them certain things to carry, you know, and then I march off, you know. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you ought to all take that type of a trip, because you know what you'll learn something about? You'll learn about those that are trying to follow you. They can't do what you do. They can't carry what you carry. They can't keep the pace that you do. And you know what? While you're doing it, and while you're carrying it, and while you're on that march, and while you're carrying it, it's going to do no good to turn around and constantly browbeat them because they can't keep pace. They are where they are. They are what they were. They were little girls. So what we did was we put a pack together of something that they could carry that would suit and match where they were in strength and ability. But by the way, they all carried something.
See, I'm trying to walk a tightrope here. I'm trying to help some of you that are just too mean, and I'm trying to help some of you that are just spoiling this next generation, rotten and not expecting anything out of them. You see, I think gentleness says, you know what, I want these young people to develop. I want them to reach their full potential, but I don't want to destroy them in the process. And so what I did was I had Amanda carry a certain thing, and she was a little bigger, so she carried a little more than Hannah. And Tabitha was really pretty small then, and she carried a very little backpack that we put on her, just a few things in it. And then there was a big giant pack left, and even a bigger pack left. So I gave the biggest one to Cheryl, and I took the other one, and I led on softly, amen. And by the way, we went those 2 miles. We walked those 2 miles all the way back to that cabin. And guess what? You found out these kids, even with that little bit they had, wear out. Now I could do one or two things on that trip. I could bellyache and gripe and chew out. And by the time we got there, you know what? They would have hated camping for the rest of their life. They would wish we'd have never went. They'd had a rotten time. Or I could be sensitive to looking back and realizing when they're wearing out. Now, you know what I would do? I would at times notice this, and I'd say to them, you know what? I need a break. Now, did I need a break? No, I didn't need a break. But I'd say, all right, here's a log. Let's all sit down here. Hey, who's got the canteen? And we'd sit, and we'd drink, and we'd talk about the different things that are in the woods. And you know what? I wasn't saying, you know what, you bunch of weaklings? I guess we're going to have to stop because you can't keep up. So just sit down and then walk back and forth and pace in front of them, muttering to myself. You know, folks, listen, that doesn't develop anything but bitterness in a person. That doesn't develop anything but resentment in a person. And you know what? That doesn't make them want to be with leadership. That wants to make them stay away from leadership. And so what we would do is we would bring them along. And after I got them rested a little bit, you know, I'd say, let's go. Oh, they moaned a little bit. Oh, and but you know what? They weren't dying, and they were fine, and we made the trip. By the way, we couldn't carry everything in one trip. And so what I did is once I got them there at the cabin and got them settled in, I said, I'm going to run back to the car. And by the way, I was by myself that time. I trotted all the way back to the car. I grabbed several things and brought it all the way back by myself. And you know what? I set a lot faster pace. For one thing, I was a little nervous about leaving back in there, and set a faster pace and got back as fast as I could. But I was by myself. Are you getting this? You see, folks, I think there's a balance here that we all need to ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to give us the grace to understand. If you're bringing up folks behind you, and this isn't just a matter of your family, this is even in the spiritual aspect of things. You know, folks, somebody that's been saved for 6 months is not going to be able to carry the load of someone that's been saved for 6 years. And somebody that's been saved for 6 months may not have the stamina, spiritual stamina or strength that somebody's been saved for 6 years. And so gentleness is a leadership principle. A gentleness leads towards a goal at a pace that maybe will challenge and stretch them a little, but it's not going to destroy them. And in the process of them following, they're going to develop strength and find out that they can. You know, it doesn't hurt to have somebody that pushes you. Did you hear what I just said? It doesn't hurt you to have somebody that pushes you a little bit. You know, the leaders and the teachers and the coaches and the different things in your life that pushed you beyond what you thought you could do, at the time maybe you didn't like them, but if you look back now, honestly, you were helped by them and learned the most from them. And so it sets a reasonable pace. It challenges and stretches people, but it doesn't destroy them. Now, let me give this to you, all right? Gentleness, and let's remember this because it's right here in this scripture before we leave this portion of scripture. Gentleness is exercised for the benefit of the young and the weak, not for the satisfied and lazy. Okay, just a minute. I'll say it again, all right? Gentleness is for the benefit of the young and weak, not the satisfied and lazy. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is where this principle of gentleness is not for somebody that knows better but just stubborn. It's for somebody that's young. Now, look at this. Look at this portion of Scripture. He pleaded what? He pleaded in verse 12 for the children. They're tender. The flocks and herds with young are with me. If a man, a grown man, overdrive them, the flock will die. I pray thee, pass over before the servants. I will lead on softly according to the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure whom I say unto the Lord. Now, I'm just going to say this, and I'm not going to get on my high horse and harp, and I'm really not. But you know what? If you've been saved 20 and 25 years, and you still need to be coddled and babied and pampered and spoon-fed, you know what? Shame on you. Shame on you. I mean that with all my heart. Shame on you. And I'll tell you why it's such a shame.
because you ought to have grown and be strong enough to be leading and helping others instead of occupying leadership's time and attention. You really ought to be. You know, we just live in a society of victims. A society of everybody wants to have an alley, everybody wants to have an excuse, everybody wants to have a reason, they don't crawl in. They're looking more for an excuse to get out of something than just step up and be a man and do it. And I'm just saying the benefit of this is not, listen, there's a difference between what I'm teaching here. There's a different way that you handle somebody that is just has the excuse of inexperience or youth, or they are young in their Christian faith, or maybe they have been saved a little longer period, but they've never been in a place where they have been fed and know how to grow. I understand all those things. But somebody's just been planted right underneath the teaching, strong teaching of a place like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, can sit here for 10 years and still want to whine and cry and beg for a pacifier all the time. You got to warm their bottle. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's nonsense. I don't like this. Well, you know, then grow up.
Amen.
You're not leading on softly, Brother Jerry. You're not being gentle. No. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. When that adulterous woman was brought to Jesus, he treated her a certain way. But you know what? When he went into the temple, he flipped over some tables and grabbed a whip and ran some people out. Now, you're going to tell me that he wasn't controlled by the Holy Spirit of God? Do you tell me that he didn't have all of the fruits of the Spirit? See, we think gentleness is weakness. But a weak leader allows people to become content and satisfied and lazy. That's a weak leader, not a gentle leader. That's a weak leader. But a gentle leader also understands that there are people in the congregation or in their family or whatever that's developing. By the way, men, let me just say this. I know in some ways I think my wife's, in some areas, her strengths supersede mine. I really mean that. But we are reminded in 1 Peter that the wife is the weaker vessel. Stop trying to expect her to keep pace with you. She is not supposed to have to keep pace with you, and she's not supposed to carry what you carry. You hear me? She's not supposed to. So when she can't, don't beat up on her. When she can't, don't browbeat her. She's not supposed to. Every one of you need to find out where your wife's ceiling of potential is and ceiling of strength is in every area. And that's where you just get to know your wife. And you pay attention to those things. And I know what areas that Cheryl can carry some things. I know areas where she can't carry as much. And you know what? I protect her in those areas, and I carry those things for her. Are you listening to that? Listening to me? You know why? Because I am a man. What is it with this society's producing? Bunch of weak men that want the women to work, want the women to take care of them, want the women to pay the bills, want the women to go out and do their thing, and they're going to sit and watch TV all day and be supported. I mean, I don't get this. You're the man. Step up. Be the leader. Carry the burden. Realize she's going to be able to carry some things, but she can't carry as much as you do. And your children can't carry as much as you do. And so what we've got to do is lead on softly. I hope that's a help to you, okay? Gentleness sets a pace that allows for the young to keep up. A gentle leader keeps everyone, though, heading toward the goal. A weak leader allows for laziness, stubbornness, and people just to be satisfied and set. You know, listen, part of my job is to keep you stirred up. Part of my job is to motivate you to take the next step. I heard Brother Jeff Fugit say something on a tape. When I was remodeling our house and building that addition one day, I was listening to a lot of sermon tapes. This has been several years ago, but I got a tape from Pastor Jeff Fugit that's down in Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And he said something. He got to the pulpit in this message, and this really wasn't what he was preaching on. But before he started preaching, he said, "Folks, I'm going to challenge you in some areas tonight." And he said, we've had a lot of new people join the church and come to our church of late. And he said, "I want you to understand something. And I want us to have an agreement and understanding between us." He said, "Listen to me. As your pastor, anybody that comes into this church and saved and baptized and wants to join into this congregation," he said, "I want to tell you something. I want to make sure we understand two things. And number one, I will accept you wherever you are in your Christian life. I will accept you where you're at." He said, "Number two, you need to understand this. I am not going to let you stay there. I'm not going to let you stay there. My job is not to allow you to stay there. My job is to bring you forward. Now, if you come to Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church," he said, "and you want to be a part of this congregation,
But you are satisfied. You have no interest in advancing in your Christian life. You think you've arrived. He said, you're probably not going to like it here. Because as a pastor, I'm to bring you along and help you to advance in areas of your life and challenge you to go forward and not be satisfied. I thought, that's brilliant. You know, isn't that fair? I think no matter who walks in the door and sits down, wherever they're at in their Christian growth, I have to be willing to accept that and understand that's where they're at. They can't be where they're not at. And you know what? They can't jump 10 steps or 15 steps. All they can do is just take the next step. And I really mean this with all my heart. Wherever you are in your Christian life, if you are willing and with God's help, and I hope I can be a help to you, if you're willing to take that next step from wherever you are, I will be as proud of you and excited for you. And I think that God in heaven is the same way. You know, I just think that our problem a lot of times isn't the fact that we aren't in advance, that we can't advance the next step. It's that we won't advance the next step. Now, I'm just telling you, have you already decided where you've drawn lines in certain places, and it don't matter what the Bible says or what the preacher says or what God says, you're just not going to advance in some areas of your Christian life? Let me ask you this. Are you as separated as you're ever going to be, no matter what anybody says? Now, you think about what I just said. So you've reached a level of holiness that you're satisfied with. I mean, there's nothing else you're going to... He preaches on this, that, or the other. You know what? I'm just going to puff up like a toad. I'm not moving from where... Well, you know, I'm not... Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to be able to help you a whole lot. I love you. If you're in the hospital, I'll come visit you. I'll pray for you every day. If you've got a problem, you need counsel, I will do everything. I will love your children. I'll try to help your children. But I'm not going to be able to help you much spiritually if you think you've arrived. And can I say this? God's not going to use me if I think I've arrived. I mean, I have got to stand before God on a daily basis and say, God, I can't get satisfied. It's unfair. It's hypocritical to ask the people to advance spiritually if I'm not willing to advance spiritually. And so I got to look at every area of my life and say, Lord, what's the next step? How can I go farther? How can I go higher? How can I be more like you? How can I do more than I've ever done? Now listen, we've all got to keep that mentality. You see, gentleness helps folks that have that mindset take the next step and does not lead at such a pace where they get lost in the shuffle, okay? Now, mature Christians understand this, okay? Sometimes you may look at Pastor Jerry and say, well, why doesn't he move on in this area? Or he's taking Sunday mornings and he's preaching, I'm saved, now what? He's teaching stuff that I've known for 20 years. Well, you know what? Not everybody in here has known him for 20 years. And you remember there was a time when you sat in a church and for the first time ever you heard some of these things and you were like, wow, and you went home and sat across the table and talked to your wife about it and said, did you understand this? Did you get this? Man, I didn't know that. Hey, that's right there in the Bible. How come we didn't know that? You see, and what we got to do here is we've got to take everybody in account here in this matter of leading on. Gentleness is for the benefit of the young and weak. Gentleness, by the way, is a must in spiritual leadership. If you're going to lead spiritually, you have to be aware of this. Let's just look at a few verses, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to run out of time before I run out of material. And you might want to, I'll give you the last few points and some verses you can jot down here in the last 2 minutes, so you can finish studying this out for yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24. Let me get it right, Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 24. It says this, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And I think that there's probably an impatience in the ministry sometime. There really is. There's an impatience with anybody who's trying to bring somebody along underneath them. Why don't you just, you know? And sometimes we forget we didn't, you know, it took us a long time to get where we're going. So be careful about it. It's a must. If you're going to be used of God, it's a must. Titus chapter 2, we're right beside there. Remember, these are pastoral epistles. We talk about this. The last verse in chapter 2 says this, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man,
to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And that's what he's saying. Listen, you've got to be meek in bringing along your people and also teach them meekness, because no matter where you are, folks, there's people more advanced than you, and there's also people behind you. And you've got to understand that you shouldn't look forward at somebody that's way beyond you and get discouraged and think, I can't ever be like that, I might as well give up. Or you shouldn't look down behind you at somebody that's not advanced and lord over them the fact that you're farther along than they are. Reach back and help somebody, and allow somebody in front of you to reach back and help you. I think that's the way this whole thing's supposed to work. And boy, I'll tell you, when we do that, it's wonderful. Gentleness is an attribute that should be applied to discipline. I'm going to give you this verse, 2 Samuel 18:5. You can just jot that down. Very interesting. David asked Joab, and this is in dealing with Absalom. He said, when you go out there and defeat him, please, for my sake, deal gently with the young man. Joab did not deal gently with the young man. He found him hanging by his hair in a tree and decided to use him like a dartboard and ran spears through him. And he didn't deal gently with him. Isn't it interesting? All that Absalom did to David, and did Absalom need to be disciplined? Did Absalom need to be corrected? But David said, do it gently. And I think even in our disciplined parents, we have to understand that even in our discipline, there should always be that fruit of the Spirit of gentleness that's a part of our discipline. Let me give you this. Gentleness is a vital degree in all godly wisdom. Gentleness is a vital ingredient in all godly wisdom. I don't think people can claim to have given you godly advice if that advice does not hold in it somewhere a measure of gentleness. Let me just read you an interesting verse. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I wish we had time to go to the Old Testament example of this, you know, where Rehoboam got counsel from two different groups of people. The older men said, listen, you need to exercise a little gentleness. The young men said, just put it on them, buddy. And you know what? He split the entire nation of Israel, and they remained split for decades after that because he didn't use the ingredient of gentleness there. And you know what? All godly wisdom. I'm a suspect of people that want to give wisdom, and their wisdom is always harshness and meanness and almost cruelty in dealing with people. There ought to always be a measure of gentleness in all of our discipline. And I think in all godly wisdom and advice, there's always the reminding of us to be gentle, to consider where a person is and what the next step is. And you know what? Where they are, did they even know? Was it simplicity that created the mistake, or foolishness that created the mistake? Is it rebellion, or is it a lack of knowing? Have we taught and trained? Or because we haven't taught and trained and did our job, and then they didn't do it, we punish them, we should punish ourselves. You know, a lot of things can be corrected through teaching and training and with a measure of gentleness, okay? And I'll give you the last one. A perceived lack of gentleness in an authority figure is not an excuse to become disobedient. 1 Peter 2:18 warns the servants that they should be subject to the masters, not just the good and gentle, but also the forward. Now here, I want you all to listen to me. If you perceive or think that a leader is not being gentle, God does not give you permission to be disobedient or rebellious to that individual. You know, sometimes I thought that some of my teachers, I thought my parents at times, I thought my boss at times wasn't being very gentle at all. But you know what? Sometimes we're being pushed and stretched a little bit, and we're having some laziness taken out of us. You see, and where we would, the honest truth is, most of us would rather set than advance. It's easy to get settled in somewhere. It's easy to, and so when somebody gets in there and pokes you a little bit, moves you a little bit, well, they're just not gentle, so I don't have to follow. Now, the Bible says, listen, servants, if you got a master that's good and gentle, then you obey him. But if he's forward, you're still to obey him. And sometimes I think what we've got to do is understand, you know what, God sometimes gives us the leadership that we need. Maybe not what we want, but what we need, you see. And so what a great teaching. My goodness sakes. I wish we'd had more time to develop some of these things. But that's the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use what's taught this morning, that you would help us, Lord, in this matter of Christian growth. And you would help us as leaders. You would help us as followers. Help us, Lord, to advance, to make advancements in our Christian life. Lord, help us to remain teachable, reprovable, rebukable. Help us, Lord, to look at those that are ahead of us that are trying to help us and see them as our friends. And then not forget to look over our shoulder at somebody that maybe is weak in some areas or immature in some areas. And Lord, allow us to humble ourselves, abase ourselves, and use our strength to be a blessing, not to be a curse to them. And I pray that you just give us some guidance in this wonderful area as we develop this attribute of gentleness through the surrendering of ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.